today we're going to be talking about how do we get more of the Holy Spirit? How do we pray in the Spirit? What is the Spirit and what does he do? So before we start, I just want to start by saying it's not possible to fully understand God. God is God. He's far bigger, greater, more complex than our minds can understand. He's beyond understanding, which, depending on what kind of person you are, is either incredibly frustrating or it's quite a peaceful concept. Now, if you're the type of person you like to know everything, if you don't know something, you want to Google it until you found out everything there is to know, you might find it frustrating that you will never fully understand God's ways. But it's actually really peaceful because when you realise that God is a good God, that he's a faithful God, that he loves you and that he wants a relationship with you, that's truth enough. That's all you need to know. If you can trust in that, it's incredibly peaceful to not understand everything that God does. In Isaiah 55, verse 8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." So it's fine that we don't get everything about God. So how do we pray with the Spirit for the things that we want or we need? Now, the Bible's got quite a few answers for this. So we've got things like the gift of tongues, which is a heavenly language. It's a language where the Spirit intervenes when we can't find the words to express the way that we feel and the Spirit takes over. We don't always understand what we say when we speak tongues, but the important thing is God does. The Bible also talks about praying according to God's will. Now, in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, the Lord's Prayer, there's a line where it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So don't be afraid to spend time in prayer asking God to reveal his will in your life. In Galatians 5, Paul talks about praying and walking in the Spirit rather than in the flesh. The flesh are our kind of, not just sinful desires, but things that maybe are more selfish. And if you pray just for things that you really want in your life or you really need all the time, instead of just connecting to God's Spirit and seeing what he wants for your life, you end up having a shopping list prayer. And it's, "God, I want this. God, I want that. God, I need this and I need that." And we don't want to pray like that. We want to pray in the Spirit. Paul talks later in Galatians 5 about the fruit of the Spirit, things like goodness and faithfulness and peace, patience, kindness, self-control, all these things. So when we pray in the Spirit, let's make sure we are seeking God's will for our life as well. So there's quite a lot to pack in tonight. Here are my 5 points on praying in the Spirit. So point number one is relax. It's not you, it's God. Have you ever heard the breakup line? Actually, don't tell me if you've heard the breakup line. That's really awkward. But have you ever seen on TV or heard on TV the breakup line? It's not you, it's me. Where the lovely person who's breaking the heart says, "Don't worry, I'll take all of your bad things that I don't like and I'll place them on myself because it's not you, it's me," right? So there's this breakup line that we see all the time. It's not you, it's me. And I think that sometimes God says that to us, and not in a breakup kind of sense, but actually in a makeup sense. Because the fact is that we are powerless on our own. God's Holy Spirit lives inside all of us if you are a Christian. And it's available for everyone who wants to give their life over to God. Then the Holy Spirit will live inside of you too. And we can pray for miracles, but we can't do miracles ourselves. That's God's territory. So how often do you wonder, "Didn't I pray hard enough? Should I have prayed for longer? Should I have believed more? Should I have fasted?" All these questions that sometimes we ask ourselves. And when we start down the path of thinking that it's anything to do with us, actually we're putting God in a box. And we're saying, you know, maybe God could have done this miracle if we, but no, there's no if we. It's not us, it's God. Let's put the power and the focus and the priority back onto God where it belongs. I'm not trying to say, by the way, do not pray. We need to pray. That is very, very important. I'm just saying, though, don't write off God's power in your life by thinking it's something that you're doing. So take the example of Saul, who became Paul in the Bible. Now, Saul was, he didn't like Christians. He was a pretty nasty guy. He killed Christians. He was involved in a lot of their deaths. And if you were a Christian and Saul came to your town, you either wanted to go underground or get out. You did not want to bang into him. Now, one day, Saul was walking towards a place called Damascus. And on his way, God's Holy Spirit came upon him. He was blinded for 3 days. And when someone finally laid hands on him to take the blindness away, he then became Paul instead of Saul. And he went on to do the most incredible things. He went on to help build and encourage so many churches. He wrote most of our New Testament. What a guy. But the thing here is the Spirit of God worked in his life without his agreement. without his permission, without his asking, and by assuming that it's in our power, whether God can or will work a miracle, it's like saying that we're on that same level as God, and we're just not. So relax, it's not you, it's God. So the second point is that we should have faith in God. We need to have faith and assurance of who lives inside of us. When we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're calling upon the most powerful, the most victorious, the greatest name, and the most awesome person in the history of forever. So when we pray, we call upon the name of Jesus. And what is the significance of this? The Bible tells us in Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So use the Spirit, use the name of Jesus when you pray, because there's no name greater. There's no name that can speak life into existence from death. There is no other name that can speak things into being from nothing. So one of my favourite books in the Bible is Job. And people are always like, why, when I tell them this? Because Job isn't the most cheerful of books. It's this guy, and he loves God, and God loves him so much. But the devil throws so many bad things in Job's life to test him, to see if he's going to stay faithful to God. And he loses his health, he loses his belongings, his property, his wife. It's pretty naff, really. And Job stays faithful, despite some bad advice from some really poor friends that he's got. He stays faithful to God until towards the end, he questions God. And I love this so much, because in chapter 38, this is what the Lord says to him. So just check this out for the name of God. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that obscures my plans and words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Have you walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the deepest darkness? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all this." If you ever doubt the name in which you pray, think on this. There is no other name. And the Spirit of that same God who laid the foundations of the earth lives inside of you. And for this reason, we can have great faith and we can trust the promises of God. We can trust that he's going to be there with us all the time, no matter what we face. We trust that he loves us. If God will say that he'll move mountains in your life, then you best believe that he can do it. So point number three, get back to basics. I think prayer is amazing on so many levels. And I love to pray. I think it, you know, opens this channel from us to God and from God to us. It allows our relationship with God to really deepen and to develop and to come like a friendship. Have you ever seen on Facebook, or sometimes you get them on plaques for your wall, and it'll say something like, we all have this one friend who we don't see very often, or we don't talk to very often, but we know they're still there, or we know we still have that deep friendship. And I think these plaques are quite funny, because I'm sure most of us can relate to having a friend that we don't see very often, we don't speak to very often, but we know they're there. But how many of you, if you were having a crisis, would go straight to that person and tell them about your crisis, or go to that person and tell them about your deepest fears or insecurities or worries? How many of you, if you had a funny thing at the office, like you trip over a photocopier, you're not going to go and tell that person straight away? They're not your first port of call. Because relationships take work and they take investment. They take time and sacrifice. And when we pray to God, it is as natural as catching up with a friend over coffee. We don't have to say huge, long, complicated prayers. God isn't keeping track to see if you've hit all the religious buzzwords in your prayer. So if you don't say words like sanctify or redemption and salvation in a prayer, it's still a prayer. God still loves to listen to you talk. Our prayers can be as simple as Jesus, help me. And that's when the gift of the Holy Spirit comes into action, because sometimes when we pray, we can be overwhelmed. And we can be overwhelmed in awe of God, or we can be overwhelmed sometimes by just the grief that we bear, by the struggles that we face in our life. In either case, the Spirit of God intercedes on our behalf. So in Romans 8, 26 and 27, it says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." So we can pray silently. We can say one word. Sometimes we might just cry. We might be bereft of words to explain how we feel. And there's no hard or fast rule of praying in the Spirit. But there should be the understanding that when your words fail, that's when the Spirit can take that from you. And the Spirit can still find the words to say when we can't. So number four, don't limit God's power by our inability or unwillingness to do something. So sometimes we can look at a situation and we can think, well, I can't, so he can't. And it doesn't work like this. There's no can't for God. His Spirit lives in us and it gives us power. In Acts, when the disciples were first given the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And that is not less true because all of a sudden, you know, we're 2,000 plus years on. The Bible says that God is a faithful God. It says he's a God that doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it's the same promise. It's still true for us. The Holy Spirit lives inside us and gives us that power. We've just got to realise it's there. And there are numerous barriers that might stop us from connecting with the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I think it's really important that we work out what these barriers are and we work to remove them. So, example, the other day I was in Asda buying a torch for the kids' ministry because we were doing teaching with this little torch. It was very cool. And I finally found the torch in Asda and I selected it. And what do you do when you're going to buy a torch from Asda? Check it works, right, before you buy it, because it would be awful if you got to teaching time and then your demonstration just falls flat. So I press it on and nothing happens. So I'm like, okay, right, maybe I need to buy batteries for this torch. So I'm like, oh, the batteries are on the same aisle, very handy. Ben's like, check the label. Read the label, says batteries included. And I thought, well, these don't work. But I thought, actually, do you know, there's probably more than just me that goes in and tries a torch before you buy it. So what's probably happened is people have all been trying the same torch as me, or some kids maybe come, clicked it on and then forgot and left it on and the batteries have just run out. So I was like, okay, no worries. What I'll do, I'll try one from the back because nobody picks them up from the back. So I was like, get the back torch. Aha, this is going to work. Select it. And it doesn't go on. And by this point, I'm fuming. I'm like, well, that's false advertisement. What if I just bought it and I hadn't checked and I just trusted that the label said the batteries were in there and it clearly doesn't work? I was so angry. And so in the middle of Asda, I start to dismantle the torch, see if there were batteries inside. And so I'm screwing the back off. And then, of course, there were batteries inside the torch. What was stopping it was there was a tiny little plastic safety barrier. Now, I am no physics person at all, but this little safety barrier was getting in the way of the batteries and the rest of the torch and stopped the torch from working. And that was all it was. The batteries were still there, just like the Spirit is still in us, no matter what barriers we've got in place. The Spirit is still there. We've just got to realize what those barriers are and take them away. And your barriers, they might be things like fear, embarrassment, feeling silly. What if my healing prayer doesn't work and then I'm going to look really silly in front of all these people? All these barriers that we might face. But you know, the Spirit's still inside you. He doesn't need us to work, but we definitely need him to work. So we need to remove the barriers in our lives that limit our use of the Spirit because of our own inabilities to do something. And finally, number five, are you responding to the Spirit? So you've got to listen. Don't be one of those friends that talk, and you don't ever show up long enough for the other person to speak to you, right? You need to make sure that you listen, because maybe God is trying to speak to you. Maybe the Holy Spirit is really trying to move you, and he can speak to you in so many ways. It might be a feeling or, you know, a gut feeling or an intuition that you should do something. It might be a word. It might be a dream or a vision. There are so many ways that he can speak. But if we don't stop long enough to listen, we're not going to hear him and we're going to miss that message. You need to make room. Is your life so busy that even if the Holy Spirit was coming to work something in your life, he just can't get in there because you've crammed it so full of all the things that you love to do? And maybe the Holy Spirit is saying, give me some time. You know, give me some resource, give me some energy. But you're exhausted because your life is so full of things that there's no room for me. So we've got to make some room for him. You've got to be prepared. Now, the Holy Spirit may prompt things in you which take you by surprise. So you may be praying for like a vengeful strike on your office co-worker that you really don't like, but the Holy Spirit might, surprise, surprise, say, forgive them, right? When I was younger, I was praying, Holy Spirit, use me and send me. I felt a real urge to go away on mission, right? So I'm saying, okay, Holy Spirit, send me to California. Let me go somewhere where they speak English. Let me go somewhere that's nice weather, warm but not too hot. No giant spiders, please, so not Australia. Not anywhere else like that. But Holy Spirit, send me. And I don't want to do any exercise because I don't like exercise. And they were kind of my conditions for the Holy Spirit. But when he says be prepared, he means be prepared, because I ended up buying a rucksack, walking boots, and I went trekking around Moldova for 2 weeks. You know, so you've got to be prepared for what the Holy Spirit is going to do in your life. Are you prepared to follow where he calls you to go? And you need to expect. There's no point in asking for something if you don't expect to get it. If God promises to move, he'll move. If you expect the Spirit, you've got the Spirit. He's already inside of you. So, I'll put my mic back, that'll be helpful. So, let's say we are full of the Spirit. We're praying really, really, really hard for something. We're expecting it. We've got faith. We're like, yes, God, you're going to come through on this. We're doing everything right. But then nothing happens. There's no miracle. There's no answer to that prayer. And you end up feeling a bit confused, a bit hurt, a little bit angry at God maybe. You know, why didn't you answer me, God? Am I doing something wrong? God, I can't do this on my own. I need you to come through on this one. Most of us have probably faced times like this, and it can be horrible. You know, sometimes life is just rough. Jesus didn't promise us an easy life, but he did promise to be with us through all of it. You know, my favorite verse in the Bible is John 16:33. And it's when Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. In this world, you will have trouble. We still live in a fallen world. We still live in a world that is sinful, and we're still going to face bad times, but take heart, because he's overcome the world. He promises to be with us through all of it, all the things that we face. You know, there's no simple answer to why God seems to answer some prayers and not answer some others, but it's helpful to know that it's okay to not know the answer. God does reveal things to us, but he doesn't reveal all things. Sometimes we just don't know the answer to the question because, hey, we're not God. That's okay. So if you've been praying for something for a really, really long time, and you're desperately seeking for answers and for meaning as to why your prayer's not working, I'd suggest maybe coming at it from a different angle. You know, accept that you might never know. You might never know the reason why. But accept that it's okay, because God is 100% a good God. Accept that all things work for the good of those who love him, even when we don't know or see how. And when you truly believe that God is a good God that you can trust, and when you trust him fully, you can accept not knowing the answers to all the things in life that you're questioning. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to me. And there are so many things that God has not revealed to us, things that stay secret to him. But we can be assured and we can be comforted that we can trust him no matter what in every circumstance that we face. You know, God sees the bigger picture. Remember, we don't fully understand God. We can't see what he sees, and we don't know what he knows. And sometimes our prayers aren't answered the way that we expect, because God has other ideas, and we've got to wait it out, and we've got to just trust that God's got us, that he's got the situation and he knows what he's doing. And this is illustrated so beautifully in the Bible with the story of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to earth, right? He was fully God, he was fully man. He lived a perfect life. He never sinned, never did anything wrong. Despite all of this, he was spat upon. He was mocked, he was beaten, he was nailed to a cross, he was crucified in front of his friends and his family. And if we didn't know the rest of the story, if we didn't know how that ended, we would go, but where's the bigger picture, God? How is there any good in this? Where are you working? Where's your purpose? Where's your will? Why is this happening? And we might question, but God has chosen to reveal the end of this to us in his word. And so in 1 Peter 3:18, it says, Christ suffered for our sins once and for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. And you see, the bigger picture is revealed here in God's word. It's to bring us safely home to God. That's the bigger picture. So let's not try to question God's motives or to fully know his ways. And let's accept that he does quite often know the bigger picture. The Holy Spirit may be working in our troubles in order to bring us closer to him. He might want to bring a change about in our lives. He might be drawing us back into repentance, into saying that we're sorry for the things we've done wrong. And we might struggle with this, and hands up, I have struggled with this in the past. And I think it's because a lot of us think, myself, I used to think this as well, that God's number one priority is to keep us happy. And it's really not. You know, he's God, he's your father, he's created you, and he loves you so much. But he's also the all-powerful, almighty God who is sovereign over the entire earth. You know, we were created to worship him. And it's when we find our peace and our purpose in life is when we worship him. It wasn't created. It wasn't meant to be the other way around. It wasn't God worshiping us. It's we worship him. And when we understand this and it becomes a reality in our life, unanswered prayer just isn't as bad. We remember that God's above us, and it's right that we do stay humble, that we do remember that God is priority, God is top in our lives. You know, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians about a thorn in his flesh, and he wrote about some kind of ailment that was bothering him, and he begged and he begged and he cried to God, you know, God, take this away from me, take it away. And God doesn't, he doesn't take this away from him, but listen to what he says. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And I love that. But let's go even further. Let's read on. And this is what Paul says back in response. So therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so Christ's power may rest on me. And that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Wow. You know, unanswered prayer is not always about us. But it's about God remaining the top priority in our life. And so the final thought is this. God doesn't always work in the way that we expect him to work. And I remember seeing a greeting card once. Do not ask me what it was about, because I've got no idea. And the more I think about this story, the more bizarre I find that this was even on a greetings card. But this is the story that was on the front. There's a man, and it's flood water everywhere. He's climbed to the top of a big hill, and he's praying to God, oh, Father, save me, Lord, save me from the rising flood. And sometime later, this man comes in a little rowing boat, and he's like, hey, get in. I can take you to safety. No, thank you. I have called on the name of the Lord. He will rescue me. He will save me. And so the flood waters begin to rise, right? And then a guy comes in a speedboat, and he's like, jump in. I can take you out. I can take you to safety. No, I am waiting on the Lord for my answer. I am okay. So he goes, and then the floodwaters rise again, getting higher. And he's going, Father God, I'm not worried. I'm not panicking, Lord, because I know that you are here for me. I know you're going to rescue me. I know you hear my prayer and you will answer, Lord. So along comes a helicopter, and they're like, come on, here's a rope. Everyone has abandoned. Let's go. We'll get you to higher ground. No, thank you. I'm waiting on my Lord to save me. He will answer my prayer. And so the floodwaters rise past him. He gets swept off the rock and he drowns. But to see, he gets to heaven and he speaks to the Lord and he says, Lord, I prayed and I prayed and I believed and I had faith. Why did you not answer me? And God's like, I sent you two boats and a helicopter. What more did you want? You know, like sometimes God just doesn't answer our prayers in the way that we expect or in the way that we want him to. He can answer our prayer in so many different ways, through people, through unexpected situations. So I had an answer to prayer, very unexpected, the other week, where I was writing this message and I only had this one evening to write it out in full. I had my notes, I knew what I wanted to say, everything was planned, I just hadn't written it. I had a few hours and I had a work meeting on that day. I had planned my time meticulously. I knew how long it took to get to the lady's house. Our plan was to have lunch and plan our next half term together. And then we were going to pray while we walked the dogs. It was very nice. And I thought, well, that can't be more than 40 minutes and then 20 minutes home. And then all in all, it would take me 2 hours. So we're out, we've had lunch, which went on a little bit longer. So I'm kind of clock watching going, I need to write my message. I really need to get home. I hope this is a quick walk and I hope the park isn't far away. So we're walking out with our dogs. And she goes to me, hey, Mel, you know, rather than carrying your handbag around, why don't you stick it in the car so you don't need to walk around with it? Great idea, Rachel. Unlock the boot, open the boot, put car keys in the boot, shut the boot, turn around. Great. So I've locked my house keys, my parents' house keys, my sister's house keys, any chance of getting a spare car key, all locked inside the boot of my car. So I won't tell you the whole story, but about 4 hours later, I am in the car with Rachel with a spare car key driving back to the house to rescue my car, and I am fretting. I'm just going, I don't have time now. I've lost about 4 hours, and I don't know where this message is going to come from now. I'm not going to have time to write it all down. And she says to me, why are you so tense? Why am I tense? So I start to talk to her about the problem, about why I'm tense. And she says to me, well, what's your message on? And we start to talk, and we had an amazing, amazing conversation. And she turns around to me just at the very end, and she says, Mel, you were supposed to lock your keys in that car so we could have this conversation. And I went, what? Maybe, maybe. And I thought, actually, God, were you answering my prayer here in this car when everything seemed to be going wrong, when I would rather have had any other day than that day that I just had, locking my keys in the boot, horrible. But actually, God worked through that. And just because our answer doesn't look the way we want it to look does not mean that the Spirit isn't working in our lives. And so if the band wants to come back up, we're just going to finish. So if there's anything to take away from tonight's message, it's this. Know that if you are a Christian, the Spirit lives inside of you. Accept that God is God and we can't fully understand him. Trust that the Spirit will intercede on our behalf when words and actions fail. And believe that no matter the outcome of your prayer, God has a great purpose which can be outworked in your life. The Spirit does so many amazing things for us, you know. And as Christians, it's such an honour and a privilege to know that God's Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And we can call on him because he's there whenever we need him. He's there always. Every single bad thing that we face, every single good thing that we go through, all of it, he's with us. He experiences it with us. And it's just wonderful to know that as Christians, we can fully rely on him at all times.